smoking, robbing, the use of narcotics, and
wonderful fucking nerds, and welcome to Shrek Attack. I'm Brandon Trekengost, the host of the Shrek and the Attack. That did not make sense, but we're going to go with it. Today, we are going to talk about Euphoria. Euphoria! Bum bum. I hate that joke every time I do it, too. So, I don't know exactly how to approach Euphoria. If you can't tell by the intro, there's a lot of drugs, smoking, popping, snorting, whatever the fuck you do. I'm not an experienced drug user, so I don't know what all you're supposed to do. Licking it off a knife, apparently. That was a thing that happened in season one. Now, I did a recap of season one of Shoresy, which felt like an actual just full-out recap. Like, you didn't have to go watch it. I told you everything. And then I did, like, a recap of season two where I just kind of told you what I felt about it. I think in this one, I'm going to go character by character because the characters are what kind of make this interesting. Although, this show could have just been renamed Daddy Issues because that's the main plot to every fucking character. Except for one, where it's Mommy Issues instead. I wish I could say I'm kidding, but like really 90% of the problems are just parents in this show. Which tends to be the thing with all like dramas and whatnot. It really shows that the way you are raised affects a lot. And I think this does a good job of demonstrating that, I guess. I don't know. We'll start with Rue. Rue Bennett. Zendaya, who has... I mean, her daddy issues are that her dad passed away, unfortunately. And while he was sick, she took his drugs and became a drug addict. Because that's normal. Rue loved her dad and spent a lot of time with him. I was sick watching TV, but he was blasted with painkillers. And one day she was like, I think these are cool, or I was told these are cool by somebody who probably isn't cool, and tried them and became addicted. And the show starts with her coming out of rehab, but she comes out of rehab with like the full intention of relapsing, which is, I mean, rehab's doing a great job, am I right? So, she does. She relapses right away, goes straight to her drug dealer. Her drug dealer, who is actually, like, the only cool person in the show, is like, are you sure? But he's gotta make that money. So, you know, he ends up selling to her. And then she fights with her best friend, because her best friend is like, yo, you just got out of rehab, like, what are you doing? And she's like, fuck you, man, drugs. Because that's how drugs work, apparently. At least in this show. I mean, I've seen a lot that relapsing and drug addicts not getting their fix and going through that withdrawal is a pain in the dick, but like Zendaya acted her ass off and really portrays this. There's a whole fucking scene where she's going through withdrawal, running from like her mom, her friends, the fucking cops, and she gets away and she goes and stays with her like new drug dealer at the time that she fronted $10,000 worth of drugs with no intention of paying back, and knew that she was probably going to get sold into prostitution, which, this show, man, this show is wild. So that's really why I'm going over it. The show is a train wreck. Like, you know, you should look away, but you can't. But it's one of those. It's a wild and crazy show. Zendaya, also the only person who is never nude on screen. She's got that no nudity clause in her contract, so good for her. Way to go. She has on and off relationships with many characters, and I don't mean just romantically, I mean in general, because her drugs make her like very angry. And whenever she's on drugs, my god, some of the trips you take, I imagine this show would be, I don't know, I never done shrooms. But I imagine this would be, like, the biggest trip to take on shrooms because you would be watching a show about tripping while you're tripping. My first shroom experience, if I ever have it, has to be while watching a show. I don't want to put that in anybody's head. I'm not going to do shrooms. That sounds fucking terrifying. Let's talk about Leslie, it's Rue's mother, going through such a hard time, not only losing her husband, but now her daughter is a drug addict and she has to take care of her other daughter as well. I imagine it has to be frustrating watching your daughter go through it, because one of the things Rue does is constantly calls her a failure for letting her get into drugs. And I imagine that would just be tough as a mother or a parent in general. Gia, Rue's sister, gets into weed during it, during the show. But and Rue is like, hey, what the fuck you doing? You can't be doing weed. Meanwhile, she's doing like fucking opiates and shit. So there's a lot of focus from the mother and Rue. Rue knows what she's doing is wrong to keep Gia clean, because they don't want the younger sister to get into that path of drugs, which I think is something cool. Like, the older sister's not peer pressuring her. She's like, yeah, what I'm doing's fucked. Don't fucking do this. It's a good message, really. Let's talk about Lexi real quick. Lexi is Rue's best friend. The nerd of the show, if you will. And Lexi, her character arc is fucking kind of the best one, probably. Because she is this shy and nerdy girl who just kind of sits in the corner and watches. And she's made fun of a lot by her sister and her friends for, like, never having the balls to do anything. Like, not having the balls to talk to guys, not having the balls to, like, party, drink, live a little. And she ends up writing a play about everybody's lives during the span of these two seasons. And the way it's set up is real cool, because the play starts at the second to the last episode of season two. There is season three confirmed. I didn't know this, or else I probably wouldn't have watched it by now. Now I gotta wait for like a year or two for season three, because fuck my life. But the way this play is handled is kind of cool, because it goes back and forth between reality and the play and shows the backstory of almost every single fucking character in the show. And Lexi has such a great arc, and then she starts gaining a romantic interest in Fez, the drug dealer of Rue, towards the end. Which isn't going to go anywhere, unfortunately. Rest in peace, Angus Cloud. But, you know, it's kind of like I was shipping it before. Like, I didn't know. Normally, the way celebrity deaths work for me is I find a show that they're in. They end up being a really good fucking character, or the only good character in the show. And then I find out they have passed and won't be in the future episodes. And it's always devastating. And, like, I'm so upset about it. We'll get to that more whenever we talk about Fez. But spoilers, by the way. Spoilers on everything. So I'm already talking about the end of season two. I'll put the word spoilers in the title. But I feel like at this point, if you have listened to my podcast, you should just know if I'm talking about a show or a game or something, there's going to be spoilers attached to it. It's just a lot of my friends, I will be like, I can't tell you, that's going to spoil it. And they're like, please fucking spoil it. And that's just how it goes. So I'm used to just spilling the beans now on every show. Anyway, Lexi, great character arc. Excited. She's going to be back for season three. There are a couple characters that won't be back for season three, including Kat. And let me tell you, Kat is a character I won't miss. I don't know what her purpose is. She is portrayed as the girl who is bigger and lacks self-confidence, and her way of feeling powerful is by being easy to get, to fuck. And she does a cam show where she belittles guys. Like, she's talking to a guy with a small dick and she's like laughing at him, and that gives her some sense of power. But she just hates herself, and the actress who is playing her is not coming back, has bigger projects to do. So character I won't miss. I hope her actress does good things in the new show, because this one wasn't for me. Oh, and you might think, like, I'm just saying he has a small dick because the show says he has a small dick. No, like, there are so many dicks and tits in this show, and which gives me a great segue into Lexi's sister, Cassie. So the whole reason I started watching Euphoria is because I have an episode I planned on doing later that I don't think I'm going to get through with, because imagine if I got big off that one. Like, that's the episode that takes off. Why is everybody obsessed with Sydney Sweeney? She plays Cassie, and then within about a half hour of the first episode, her tits are on the screen. So I guess I get it. So I'm not saying, like, I'm okay. So the internet is obsessed with her, would do anything for her. She has so many fucking things on Twitter, like, oh, I would drag my balls across broken glass just for Sydney Sweeney to fucking fart in my face or something. Those stupid lines that are always said. And I never saw, like, she's a very attractive woman, but I didn't think she was, let me just simp my ass off for her, like, levels of attractive. Like, yeah, she's very attractive. And then I wanted to see, like, okay, what are people into? So I watched a few interviews, and she just kind of has this disassociated college girl vibe to her, which is not, it's not a compliment. And then whenever I watch her acting, it's the same thing. She doesn't really have a personality. I feel so bad talking about somebody like this, but there's no personality there. And that's coming from me. Like, I'm a very monotone, boring guy. But how do I should be famous based off this? I think I can act based off this. I can pretend to be uninterested in everything. I'm not a beautiful man. She is a beautiful woman. Yeah, I think the reason everybody is obsessed over her is because she is nude very often. You see ass, you see boobs, and that, I mean, hey, listen, I've never been sad while looking at boobs. I don't think anybody's ever been, straight women aren't sad whenever they're looking at boobs. I want to throw it in here, post-editing, that Sydney Sweeney is much more than just ass and boobs. It's just, I hope she develops into a better actress if she's going to be the next big thing. That's all. Carry on. So, her character is just, she wants to be loved. She is dating a college guy, McKay, who also has daddy issues. Cassie and Lexi, daddy issues. Lexi's daddy issues are from Cassie's daddy issues. Cassie's dad went to buy cigarettes, never came back. Actually, he did come back once, and it was to rob them, and that for some reason made her never feel loved. So all she wants is loved, and she's dating this college guy, and the college guy's like, I'm struggling to love you because, like, your boobs are just everywhere. There's a video of you giving head. They end up not working out, and then she goes for the biggest douchebag of the show, who was dating her best friend, because she just wants to be loved. That's her whole thing. And let me tell you, if you look like that, you can be loved by whoever you want, apparently, because, like, every dude is into her during the show, which is fine, but her character is just not, it's literally, oh, I'm not good enough. I don't feel like, do you love me? I need loved. I'm craving attention. I need attention. And her sister calls her out on it. Like, once her sister comes up with that play and, like, gets some balls, like, she calls her out on it. And it's the best. Lexi is one of the best characters in the show, hands down. It's Lexi, Rue, Fez, that's it. That's the, Allie. Allie's good. Faye, Exist. Elliot, Exist. Those are the ones that are good. Emma Jules actually is a really interesting character. We'll get to her. Do I have anything else to say about Cassie? I guess she has an abortion at the end of season one. That was McKay's, because she wants to keep it and be a mom, but McKay straight up was like, you're a fucking mess, you can't be a mother yet. Which, Cassie is a fucking mess. It makes sense. She just wanted the child because the child would be forced to love her because she's her mother. That's her entire character arc. She just wants to be loved. Like, she's desperate for love. Let's talk about McKay. Cassie's college boyfriend, and then Tyler's best friend. Tyler's like the biggest douchebag in the show. We'll get to him. He also has daddy issues because his dad makes him want to be the best football player ever, but then whenever he was in high school, but in college he isn't, and he's kind of accepting, has to work his way back up the ladder again, but his dad's not cool with that. So he has all these issues, and he thinks Cassie's holding him back, but then he gives up because of the extra pressure from his dad. Daddy issues the show. McKay breaks up with Cassie at some point, then kind of falls to the background, and by falls to the background, I mean you never fucking notice him. Therefore, he doesn't deserve any more of my time, but Nate Jacobs absolutely does. Whenever I called Tyler, whenever I said Tyler was the biggest douchebag in the show, I met Nate Jacobs, and the reason I mistaken him for Tyler, and I'm not going to go back and just fix everything, is because for the first, like, 3 or 4 episodes, I thought his name was fucking Tyler, because he had, alright, so, We got to dive into Jules and Cal a little. Cal is Nate's daddy issue, and Cal fucks Jules, who is an underage transgender woman. Then Tyler has his fake dating issue where he matches with Jules because he knows that Jules and Cal have hooked up, and he manipulates Jules to send him nudes, and then fuck, dude, it's all fucked. But while he is using this dating app, he pretends to be Tyler because Tyler is a dude who, in episode one, within the first like half hour of the show, fucks Maddie, who is Tyler's girlfriend slash ex-girlfriend slash where the fuck they are. Yeah, try to stick with me. This show is a fucking trip. So Maddie is broken up with Tyler, fucking Nate, in the first episode. And to get back at Nate, she fucks Tyler. So he uses his name on the dating app after beating the shit out of him for fucking Maddie, and then gets him arrested for fucking a minor because he's a college student. Maddie's 17, I guess, or something along those lines. I don't understand how this all works. And then Tyler's just forgotten about, like, he's wrongly thrown in jail and never brought out. I would like to know if he's like just suffering in there, or like he's a forgotten character. Or maybe it comes back to bite Nate in the ass sometime, because Nate manipulates everybody. Whenever he got them nudes of Jules, he used them to get her to confess to Tyler. Shrek? Maddie. Oh, can I say that? He says that Tyler has sexual intercourse with Maddie that is not consented, even though Maddie initiated it, because I'm tiptoeing around the show a lot, I guess, because she wants to get back at Nate. Nate is manipulating people to say the opposite to get Tyler thrown in jail, even though Nate also just beat Tyler to, like, death, literally an inch away from death, like, twice. Tyler's blind in one eye and his other eye's, like, hanging out the socket, so... Yeah, no, listen, if you don't want to watch this based off what I'm saying, I completely understand. But it is like a fucking train wreck that you can't look away from. It's good bad, it's not bad bad, it's not like fucking Riverdale. It's good bad, where you want to see what happens next, because how can it fucking go downhill from here? Alright, let's talk about... we have so much more to talk about Nate Jacobs. He is a football player who is way too good. He is sexually confused. He isn't sure if he is gay or straight. So he really, whenever he is in a relationship, dominates the female he's with. You can use your imagination what I mean. Because that makes him feel correct for being straight. And the reason he's sexually confused is because of his father, Cal, who is also sexually confused despite being married with two kids. And Cal is sneaking off fucking younger men and younger transgender women to try to figure out his identity. He eventually just gets drunk, goes to a gay bar, gets kicked out, comes back, pisses on the floor of the entrance to his home, and tells his family he's out. But every time he has sex with one of these younger men and transgender women, he records it. Nate ends up getting the files, turns him into the police, he gets arrested. I can't continue with these two anymore. Let's walk away from that family. I discussed Tyler already. Maddie is the red flag of the show. Like, this girl is so fucking toxic, but at the same time, she's the one that I'm like, yes, I like her. She can ruin my life. She was Nate's ex-current whatever girlfriend, and she finds out that Nate... Oh, fun fact, Nate and Cassie get together in season two. She finds out that Nate and Cassie are fucking, so she wants to kill Cassie and does fucking hit her quite a bit. I'm gonna be all over the place now, am I not? We're gonna hit this real quick just because I feel like it needs to be said. It's the weirdest scene I ever saw in any show ever in my entire life. Cassie and Maddie are tripping on ecstasy. Cassie goes and finds some dude because she craves attention, craves being loved. And it's whenever her and McKay are having one of their fights. And then they ride a carousel together. You know, the merry-go-round, the thing with the horses that go up and down in a circle very slowly. And because she's on ecstasy and all horned up from this dude, she gets off on the carousel. Literally from going up, and she like grinds herself on the horse. It's so fucking weird to watch. What am I supposed to do? Like, I don't want to watch this anymore, but like, it's so fucked, I need to. But like, how can it go downhill from here? It finds ways, I promise you. Back to Maddie, she has like a rich person that she is babysitting for, and that person like gives her all sorts of life advice, but Maddie doesn't want to do anything with her life. She just wants to be taken care of. She wants to be a stay-at-home trophy wife. I don't think she wants to be a stay-at-home mom, like literally a trophy wife, which I get, because I want to be a trophy husband. She, like I said, she is the walking red flag of the show. Like so into herself. She knows she's hot, and like, she really gets my attention. So, I don't know, maybe that's my problem. Maybe I am into red flags, and that's why, I realize they're eventually a red flag, and that's why I don't ever date. Nah, whatever. That's a problem for another episode that we can cover. Maybe I'll have, a progress episode from that Valentine's episode I did. You know, I think I'm in a better place, but maybe I'm not, whenever I'm thinking these thoughts about Maddie. Let's talk about Jules, who is probably, the most interesting character in the show. Now, Jules has mommy issues instead of daddy issues, which is a nice change of pace, really. Not really. Her mom's an addict, which is why she kind of has these feelings for, you know, Rue, because Rue reminds her of her mom. And that's apparently what people look for in dating, is just their parents. So, yeah, her and Rue get into a relationship. Jules is a transgender woman who was, you know, obviously a boy at a young age, but always liked wearing dresses and stuff, eventually turns into a girl, and then she becomes a whore, because that makes her feel like she's dominating the male species. That's a real thing that she says. She's dominating masculinity, or, like, it's phrased something weird like that. I don't, this show is something else. She's literally probably the most interesting character, though, because she just kind of, it's, you can see her psychological warfare within herself at all times. There's nothing hidden about her, and she's quite the opposite of Cassie, where Cassie just wants to be loved and Jules just wants to love. She craves loving people. I don't get that aspect, because I don't crave wanting to be loved, and I don't crave loving people. So I don't know. Like I said, Jules, it's one of those things where you need to watch it to understand. Jules is just a very interesting character. I'm gonna save the next three for a little bit. Let's talk about Ali. That's Rue's rehab sponsor, and he's just a cool cat. If he came out playing saxophone, I wouldn't be fucking surprised. He's just a real cool dude, and he gets Rue through a lot as an ex-drug addict himself, because he understands what goes through, what it takes to be reformed. I'm stumbling over my words now because the show has me so razzle-dazzled. Is that the proper way? It doesn't even matter. Post-editing Shrek here. This show broke my brain, if you couldn't tell. But it was a lot of fun to watch, I promise. I'm a little bit more together now that I haven't been talking about it for, 30 minutes. I thought about cutting a lot of my broken brain moments, because I could technically stitch this up, but I've wanted you guys to get an understanding of how much my brain broke during this episode. Anyway, Ali is really good with Rue. He is considered a waste by his own daughter, from my understanding, or his daughters, maybe, and that hurts. And sometimes Rue attacks that, because whenever you're going through withdrawal, I guess you're just a really fucking, you're a bitch. He takes a few hits on the chin verbally from Rue, but always forgives her and shows her how important it is to forgive and take care of people that you are, you love and care for, which I think he's a good role model, and he's probably the only good role model in this show. Lori is, we can't talk about Lori yet. Ethan was Kat's boyfriend, or I guess X. He also is the lead of the play for that Lexi throws together, he's a really good character because he dates Kat and ensures her through all her self-confidence issues. But whenever Kat starts pushing him away because she wants to break up with him, he doesn't. Like, she tries to make it sound like he has an issue with her. And he's just like, yeah, I'm not taking this bullshit. If you want me to have an issue with you, this is the issue we have. I'm breaking up with you. So, Ethan, good character in my book. Kind of a side character. But he's good. He's good. Elliot is... And I have Rue's new friend, Enabler, and Fucks Jules. So, he meets Rue at a party. Rue is literally about to die. He gives her, I believe it's Adderall, and she says this saves her life, and they become really good friends off that. And he just, it's during a time that she's supposed to be sober, because Jules wants her to be sober, and she's hanging out with him behind Jules' back, and then, like, doing drugs, and then Rue introduces Jules to Ethan. They do this whole, like, dare thing where they just dare each other to do stuff because they're teenagers, I guess. I swear, like, I didn't do half the thing these fucking guys did during their senior year of high school. I don't get it. But they did these dares. Eventually, one thing led to another. Jules and Elliot end up fucking. Rue and Elliot are basically a threesome. That's what it comes down to. But whenever Rue relapses and Jules finds out, Rue does withdrawal bitch things, and they're not like angry at each other at the end of the show, but they are like on the mend because there was a big falling out, and that's something that season 3 is probably going to have to cover a lot of. We'll get to season 3 predictions at the end. Now let's talk about the drug dealers, drug addicts, the drug cartel. Fezco, best character in the show. Hands down. And the actor that plays him, Angus Cloud, has passed away to an accidental drug overdose. His father passed away. He was on antidepressants, accidentally overdosed on them, and cocaine, I believe the report said. It sucks because he truly was the best character. Hands down, not even close. He's a drug dealer, but he cares about Rue. He cares about the people he is around. His younger brother, quote unquote brother, because it's hard to explain. Ashtray is killing everyone and he's covering for him. Mouse was his drug dealer. Ashtray kills him to protect Fezco, but then Fezco covers for that murder. Fezco takes in Faye, who is Custard has his girlfriend. Custard is a guy. It's Custer. I'm calling him Custard, though. He's a guy who buys off the same supplier as Fezco does. And he finds out about Mouse being killed and starts being an informant to the police. And while he's doing that, he needs somebody to take his girlfriend in. His girlfriend is, like, a terrible drug addict. Just so into drugs that she can't take care of herself, apparently. So, like, Fezco, being the good guy he is, takes her in. No questions asked. And then he starts to reform her. Like, by the end, Faye is more capable because Fezco has taught her to be more capable and gets her away from drugs a little. Like, doesn't completely cut her off, but doesn't make it so she's just stoned or high or whatever 24/7. Fezco cuts off Rue because Rue is destroying her life and he doesn't want to see that. Fezco shows Lexi interest at a party, encourages her to go through with this play, gives Lexi confidence. Fezco at the very end gets shot protecting Ashtray from the cops whenever they raid his place, and he's fully planning on taking the fall for Ashtray. Now Ashtray gets murdered in the show. Angus Cloud passes away in real life, and this is a bummer. Let's go into what I think season 3 is going to be, because it has a lot to do with Fezco, which is why I wanted to make him last. It's been said, Ali's actor came out and said that the season 3 was supposed to be heavily focused around Fezco, and they have to obviously take creative changes now and shift. I'm coming up with what I think. Because season 2 ended with Rue being sober for the rest of the school year. Now, it's been a couple years, and the actor who plays Nate says that he's starting to look too old for the show, so they need to do a time jump. So I think what we're going to do is just we're going to time jump until the end of college. I think we're going to go from the senior year of high school to the senior year of college. And if you don't understand how we got to season 3 already, I don't either. So bear with me. This week has been hectic. In 1 hour, I have to go to a 17-hour shift. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I wanted to take next week off, but I'm going to go ahead and go through with it. But the week after might be a mental health week for me. There are things happening next week I have to get off my chest. We have rants coming next week, so I hope you look forward to that. Anyway, so season 3, I believe we are going to get a time jump, like I said, to like the end of the senior year of college or whatever they fucking do after high school, because surely not all of them are going to college. They aren't all that smart. I believe it will be heavily focused on mending the relationship between Jules and Rue. I think they are going to probably not talk for the duration of the time jump. And this is all completely just my prediction. There's been nothing. I've read nothing except for season 3 was supposed to be heavily revolved around Fezco. And it obviously cannot be heavily revolved around Fezco because this actor has passed. I believe a time jump will also help with the actors and actresses, which I don't have a full list of. I just know Kat's not coming back. The guy who plays Nate says he's getting too old. I believe it will give... I don't think Cal is coming back either, Nate's father, but he's arrested, so at least you can play that off. The last scene that Fezco was in, he got shot. I don't want them to kill him off. I would like them... All he wanted was to be a farmer. So I would like them to say that he had a full recovery and went to peacefully farm. And that way, if the actress, who I believe is confirmed to come back, actually, that plays Lexi, wants an out too, they can say that they made up and... Like, they can have her be the one that's like, yeah, Fezco recovered. He wants to be a farmer. He wants to leave the drug life behind. I'm going to go live with him on the farm. Gives her an out if she wants out too. That'd be fine. You can write those characters off. They get their happy ending. Fezco was shot. I don't think that's the route they're going to take. They're probably just going to kill off his character, which I just poor taste. The family has to watch him pass again. You know, it's not in good taste in my opinion, but it's probably what the writers will do just from what the show is so far. Cassie can play her role as disassociated college girl because that's what Sydney Sweeney does best. I'm sorry. If you like Sydney Sweeney, I'm sorry. Not for me. Her acting doesn't do it for me. Her personality in interviews is dull. That's just how I feel about her. And I just don't see why everybody's so obsessed. Maddie, she needs to figure out how to not just be so self-absorbed. And I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe the show just gets her somebody who cares about her and that helps her. Would be cool. I don't see them going past season 3. I think season 3 is going to have to end it because of the people leaving and just, you know, the situations they're in. A lot of actors and actresses were done, from my understanding, and they came back. There was that strike delaying stuff. There was COVID delaying stuff. The show just has not had a clean run. We need to get Rue out of her issues with Lori, who was the new supplier for Fezco after Ashtray killed Mouse, because Lori is set to sell her into prostitution. I'm not sure how they're going to tackle that, but I'm sure it will have something to do with Jules being a fucking genius or something. It's really hard to say. Actually, it would be really cool if Faye took care of things, because Custer died, Ashtray killed him. And Faye becoming capable, it'd be cool if Faye became the new Fezco, like the person who cares about people and is able to take care of them, because she learned how to take care of people from Fezco, how to like become a capable human being off Fezco. And that'd be a pretty cool way to have his legacy go on. I believe let's have Faye be his, like, the person that he mentored to be a good person. Then Faye can be the only good person in the show, because good people just do not exist in this show. Rue will probably have one more relapse. I don't foresee the show that is so focused around drugs not having somebody on drugs, and Rue just seems like the easy relapse target. And then it ends with her becoming clean for good because she loves Jules. It's hard to say what's going to happen. This show, I'm going to end it on this. Would I recommend this show? Yeah, I would. Not for the purposes of it being a fantastic show or a great show, but I think it does put a lot of perspective into different parts of life. It's like a bad train wreck that you can't look away from. I don't think by any stretch of the means it's a terrible show. I don't think it's unwatchable. I think it's rather interesting. I think it's a show, like, I say there are shows that are so bad that it's good, and the show is one of those shows that's so bad that it's good, but in an interesting way where it tackles a different psychology that you don't typically see in shows. There's a very psychological aspect to it. There are characters trying to become better people, but they're weighed down. Addiction is powerful. Being wanted is it tackles real life issues in ways that you probably haven't seen before in television series, and that makes it very uncomfortable. That's the bad, is that it's so uncomfortable to watch, that it's such a fucking train wreck, but you want to see what happens. I actively find myself wanting to see these characters outside of Nate Jacobs to become better people. I just want to see Nate Jacobs get his ass kicked, because he does a really good job of being such a fucking douchebag. Which is, he's supposed to be a bad guy. Like, he's doing a great job. That's what he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to make you not like him. I'll be watching season three. So if you've made it through this far of me bumbling, stumbling over my words, and just being a confused mess, because that's how I felt the entirety of watching Euphoria, then thank you. I appreciate you listening. If you would like to follow me on the social medias, my personal account is @TheRealBShrek. That's @TheRealBSCHREC. On any platform, if you look it up and you don't find me, I'm not there. Shrek Attack has a Facebook, an Instagram, and a TikTok. If you would like my free agency takes in the NFL, I have been putting them on TikTok, which I've been transferring over to the Instagram and the Facebook. So you can get my free agent reactions over on the social medias. I'm not going to bog down and change topics in the middle of a podcast just to do NFL free agency takes. That's just how I kind of decide to tackle it. So those, once again, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, @ShrekAttack, SCHREC, just like it is in the title. If you found this podcast, you can find those social medias. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a rating, share it with a friend, share it with everyone. That way we can get me to new ears. I am 2 likes away on Facebook from getting to 69, so if you can convince 2 people to like it, I will never complain. I will never ask another person to follow me. I'll be content at 69 likes followers the rest of my life. For real. Like, get me to 69. Memes. I appreciate you guys for listening. As always, don't do drugs and hit the fucking music. Yeah. As much as I enjoy doing these off-topic episodes that aren't typical for me for a change of pace, I'm so glad we came back to normal stuff next week, because we're going to talk about Netflix and its stupid, like, tier system of just fucking you over. And then we're going to talk about MLB The Show just not doing anything with their franchise mode whatsoever. I understand, if it's not broke, don't fix it, but you don't have an online mode yet. And, like, online is how sports games need to be these days. It's a lot more fun with friends. And then we're going to talk about the 1-year sport game cycle not being enough, among other things like that. NCAA 25, EA College Football 25, just going to be a game changer. So we'll get into all that next week. Thank you for listening. And I wonder how many people stick around after my outro to see if I even say anything, because I do quite often. It's normally just a funny little tidbit, but this one's like a sneak preview just to add a little bit more, get to 40 minutes on my show. Love you all. Bye.